Hope everyone's been getting over that flu bug. I know there's still some that are working their way through it, and do be in prayer for Michelle's. I haven't heard lately for how they're doing. How are they? Okay, good. Okay, good. Okay, well, let's turn to Proverbs, please. Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17. When you find your place, we'll stand for the reading of God's word if you're able to. I'll read verses 10 through 12. Verses 10 through 12. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. An evil man seeketh only rebellion, therefore a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. Let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man, rather than a fool in his folly. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear my Father, we come before you. We thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, we think of this passage of Scripture, has many nuggets in it, and Lord, we pray that you'd help us as we continue to look at the area of rebellion. Lord, an evil man seeketh only rebellion. Lord, we pray that you'd help each one of us to be obedient to you and to the higher authorities in our life. We ask this all, and Lord, we pray that be with any that are still traveling, we ask that you give them safety on the roads, and we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, may be seated. You know, as humans, we don't always like to obey authority. We like to exert our own authority because it feathers our pride and makes us feel good about ourselves. And when somebody tells us to do something that we ought not to, it affects our pride in ourself, and also we sometimes respond with stubbornness. I just yesterday did an extra Bible study at the prison. Normally I do them on Thursday, but I was there trying to meet up with a couple of extra guys because there was two that really showed some promise when we were there on Thursday. So, and you know, those men there, for the majority of the time, I mean, they certainly have a lot of things going against them. A lot of them have very difficult upbringings, and we were talking Thursday with some of them about some of the things that happened in their life, and whether they had a mother and a father that cared for them, and a lot of them, you know, it was the same story for many of them, that no, they did not have parents that really cared for them. But still, even though they had those things going against them, there's a lot of people that have those types of things going against them and still do well. And the common problem with many of these men is a lack of wanting to obey, to follow leadership, to follow guidance. In one case, it was kind of interesting because this one man, one of the ones that I felt was showing some promise, and there's some real hope for him. But I even saw that flicker of not wanting to be obedient. We were having they had a chapel service going on for the rest of his group, and he and I were meeting in an office right next to the main group, and the chaplain forgot all about us and sent the rest of the guys back to their unit, and he's like, whoa. So he comes into the office and goes, hustle, we got to go, because, you know, the rest of the guys are leaving, and they were already heading off to their unit, and I could just see this irritation, this man. He's like, I'm not going to follow, you know, and he's, you know, slowly got up, and this chaplain's like, we got to go, and I saw that again, that not wanting to obey authority. And we've got to obey authority. And first and foremost is our Heavenly Father, is not being in rebellion against Him. And I mentioned last week a verse that we use for our children quite often to remind them about what rebellion is, 1 Samuel 15:23, which says, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry." Same as witchcraft, serving Satan, giving Satan a foothold in our life. You think about a foothold. I saw a video some time ago about this man that could pretty much run up the side of a stone wall, grabbing little tiny things that you and I would not be able to put our toe on, and yet he could balance and flip himself up and get onto the wall because he found these little footholds that he was able to use. And Satan looks for footholds in our life that he can use to get in amongst us and each one of us and to try to use us to his purposes. Let's take a look I gotta find my spot. Psalms chapter 107, verse 11. Psalms 107, 11. These are some of the ways in which rebellion is manifested. These are examples of rebellion. 107, verse 11. Rebelling against the counsels or the words of God. So Psalms 107, verse 11. Because they have rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. That's rebellion. Despising his counsels, his words, his commands. Another area is distrusting his power. Take a look in Ezekiel chapter 17, verse 15. Ezekiel 17, 15. And in this case here, the context is where Zedekiah was not willing to put his trust in the Lord. And he sent men to Egypt to secure help. And Ezekiel 17, 15, we read, "But he," that's Zedekiah, "rebelled against him in sending his ambassadors into Egypt, that they might give him horses and much people. Shall he prosper? Shall he escape that doth such things? Or shall he break the covenant and be delivered? As I live, saith the Lord God, surely in the place where the king dwelleth that made him king, whose oath he despised and whose covenant he brake, even with him in the midst of Babylon, shall he die. Neither shall Pharaoh with his mighty army and great company make for him in the war by casting up mounds and building forts to cut off many persons." So he was supposed to put his trust in the Lord. And we see over and over in Scripture how the Lord does not need, he doesn't need men to do his will. Of course, the one big example is Gideon. It's 300 men going up against 300,000. Obviously, militarily, impossible odds. But we know that with God, everything is possible. So, distrusting God's power, that was rebellion. You know, we sometimes, we'll see in Scripture that God tells us to do something. For instance, it might be the area of tithing. And we say, well, no, I can't afford to it. I can't afford to do it. And we are not trusting God and what he promises he will do. It's just one example. I mean, another example might be if the Lord calls someone to the mission field and they say, well, no, I don't have the verbal communications. My lips are slow, like Moses. or I don't have the funds to be able to do that. So where we distrust God's power. If God makes it clear, then we've got to do it. There's nothing wrong with questioning the Lord and saying, Lord, is this what you're telling me? That's right. We ought to do that. We ought to affirm his will in our life. Another manifestation of rebellion is murmuring against him. Let's take a look back in Numbers. And you know, if you've read the five books of Moses, that the children of Israel murmured against the Lord many, many times. Numbers chapter 20, verse 3. So, Miriam has just died. In verse 1, the congregation, they're looking for water. This is the time when he strikes the rock the second time, when he was supposed to speak to the rock. And in verse 3, and the people argued with Moses and spake, saying, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. In the same chapter, dropping down to verse 10, and Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and water came out abundantly, and the people drank, and their beasts... verse 10, I'm sorry. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, hear ye now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? They murmured against the Lord, and of course we see that Moses sinned here against the Lord himself. He rebelled because he didn't follow the Lord's direction. The Lord said, speak to the rock. You know, in verse 8, the Lord says, take the rock, the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so that thou give the congregation and their beasts drink. So he was told to speak to it. He rebelled. They were in rebellion too. But two wrongs don't make a right. You know, in Psalms, you know, just hold your place there. I'll just read it for you. But in Psalms, it speaks to this account here in Psalms 106. Verses 32 and 33. They angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill for Moses for their sakes, because they provoked his spirit, so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. They provoked him. Now, there wouldn't have been anything wrong with him with Moses if they had provoked him with a righteous indignation where he, you know, reminded them of what God had done for them, how he brought them out of Egypt, how he always provided for them. And if he said, go humble yourselves and seek and pray and ask God to provide, and he will. If he had done something like that, that would have been one thing. But in this case, Moses' rebellion was that he got angry with the people. You know, this was a personal thing now. Other times you see how they would murmur, they would do this and that, and he and Aaron would get on their faces before the Lord, and they were like, Lord, we know that if they keep on talking, you're going to strike them dead. Lord, please, intervene here. But this time round, he got angry. He responded in the flesh. So we notice their rebellion was to murmur against the Lord. His rebellion was to disobey what God had told him to do. Speak to the rock. And his, you know, one thing is he had been told to smite the rock once before, and that worked. So maybe in his mind, okay, he's like, well, that worked the first time, it'll work the second time. But also, even just when a person's angry, sometimes they're tempted to strike out at something. And so the rock for him was something he could strike out at. Okay, another example of rebellion, refusing to hearken to God. Take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 9. Hearken, to listen. Not only to listen, but to obey. It's not enough just to go, but then do the opposite. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 23. And of course, these principles go for children to their parents, employees to their employer. Deuteronomy 9, chapter 9, verse 23. Likewise, when the Lord sent unto you Kadesh Barnea, saying, go up and possess the land which I have given you, ye rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, and ye believed him not, neither hearkened to his voice. I believe we looked at this verse last week, what we were looking at was that they believed him not. That was a part of the rebellion. This part here is, nor hearkened to his voice. So they didn't listen. They weren't willing to obey. It stemmed to that unbelief, though, didn't it? They didn't believe him. You can jump ahead to Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 8. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 8. But they rebelled against me and would not hearken unto me. They did not every man cast away the abominations of their eyes, neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. So they rebelled against me and would not hearken unto me. We can move ahead into Zechariah. Zechariah, just before Malachi, which is, so it's the second last book of the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 7, verse 11. The Lord says here, but they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear. So they refused to hearken. They pulled away the shoulder. That pulling away the shoulder, that turning away, that sign of defiance. They stopped their ears. They put their fingers to their ears. They would not hear. Moving back to Isaiah chapter 59. Departing from him. You know, one thing we see about the scripture is that when a Christian falls out of fellowship with the Lord, they depart from the Lord. And you know, just to give you an illustration, I mean that poem "Footprints in the Sand," it's, you know, it speaks to some there's some truth to it. And when we're going through trials and tribulations, God lifts us up. But the one thing that I think that it misinforms people in is that they think that even when they're in sin, God is still right beside them. When the truth of the matter is that God is always in the same place. He's always there for the believer if they're walking in obedience to him, and he'll always receive them if they repent and come back to him. But when we rebel, we move away from him. And because of our sin, we know it. And we don't want to be near his presence. We don't want to see his glory. So take a look at Isaiah 59, verse 13. I mean, you think of Peter. He's asking the Lord to depart from him because he's a sinful man. Isaiah 59, 13. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, departing from him. As people move away from the Lord, you can see when a person is starting to grow cold to the Lord. Some people are very good actors, and you don't know. They seem to be as fervent and as zealous for the Lord, and then sometimes there are others that are not as good an actor, and you start to notice a lack of fervency. They start to drop off a service here, a service there, and start to leave off some of the different responsibilities that they'd had in the church before, and you just notice their conversation is not geared on the things of the Lord as much or any, you know, that their focus is on physical things and day to day things. They are departing from the Lord. They're starting to walk away from the Lord. And each one of us can probably, each one of you and myself included, we can all look at times in our life and we can say, yeah, that was me back then. Hopefully it's not us right now, but back then. And that we can say, yeah, the Lord pricked me and somehow we used circumstances or his word to bring me back to himself. So they were departing from him, and departing from the Lord is rebellion. Another form of rebellion is rebellion against governors that he has appointed. So Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Joshua 1, 8. And you know, a person can apply this in many different ways. We've talked before about, I mentioned earlier, even today, the relationship between employers and the employer. employees and the employer. That can be a tricky thing sometimes, because if our employer is being unfair, or they're, let's say they're shorting us on our paycheck, you know, that's a case to bring up before them, but not in a adversarial sort of way. I've used the illustration before of how I was shorted a whole year. We have this system years ago where for the first 10 years of being a paramedic, you would get a 70 cents raise every year on top of other, that was just a kind of a bonus premium, 70 cents an hour. And I kind of got confused with my hire date, and I thought that I'd gotten my raise the end of the next year. I was saying, let's recalculate this. And I recalculated, and my employer had forgotten to give me that 70 cents over the course of that whole year. So it was something like $1,500 that they owed me. And so, you know, I just went to them and said, can you confirm my math? I don't know if I've got this right or what the situation is here, but it seems to me that I missed my bonus. You know, and they said, they dug into it and they said, yes, you did. Would you like it now, or would you like it added onto your next check? You know, whereas another employee was sure he had got shorted on his paycheck, and he went through the union, and there was arbitration and all sorts of things, and yes, he had been shorted $12. You know, he spent hundreds of dollars of union money to find out, yes, he had been shorted $12. If he had just gone and done the calculations and said, you know, I think I might have been shorted some money here, and approached management with a humble attitude, he would have got his $12. Maybe even 13, I don't know. But, you know, there are times to deal with situations, but of course, if an employer is being unethical, dishonest, then, you know, we have a choice to make. We obviously cannot participate in it, certainly not. We don't fudge books or do anything to. But what I'm saying, the choice that we make is either we just say sayonara, or the other choice is that we say, no, I am not going to go along with this. You know, some years ago, I also used another example of a fellow that I met, and he worked for a large fast food restaurant, which shall remain unnamed. And the manager, the owner of the restaurant, would come in and tweak the balances, because they would weigh out the meat that was being put on, and he would tweak it so that they put less meat on the meals. And this manager, this Christian manager, caught that, and he kept resetting the scales and telling. He said, "No, we cannot do that. And if I'm the manager, this cannot happen." And so, you know, he stood for the truth, and in that situation, I believe the owner backed down and let him operate that way. So there are those things that we have to deal with. But when we are told to go sweep up that pile of dust, or you know, whatever it might be, if it's not unethical and it's not wrong to do, then we are to be obedient. Take a look at Joshua 1:18. This is in the reference to a governor. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken to thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and be of good courage. This is Moses giving instruction to Joshua. And so Joshua, as the governor, was given that authority. And rebellion would be going against his authority. So we have these various authority figures in our life. Let's take a look at Job. Job, please. Rebellion is sinning against the light. It was interesting. On Thursday, one of the prisoners brought up a verse that we're going to look at here in a moment. But first, we'll look at Job. And Job chapter 24. This is Job speaking here. You know, as we read the book of Job, I give certainly a lot more credence to what Job says. But at the same time, there many times his miserable friends did give, they spoke the truth, but they just misapplied it. It was not true about Job. But in this case, this is Job speaking. In Job 24:13, we read, well, let's read verse 12 and 13. Men groan from out of the city, and the soul of the wounded crieth out. Yet God layeth not folly to them. They are those that rebel against the light. They know not the ways thereof, nor abide in the paths thereof. They rebel against the light. You think about the book of John, where the Lord says that the men were lovers of darkness rather than lovers of the light. They rebelled against it. Ooh, I don't like that light. They sinned against the light. Let's take a look at Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 48. Here we've got the parable of the faithful and wise steward. Luke chapter 12, verse 48. I'm going to jump right into the end of this, and we're not going to really look at the context of the account as relates to Israel, but we're going to focus on the second half of this verse. So Luke chapter 12, verse 48. But he knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. So particularly looking at the second half there, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. And in that last part there, there's a principle that, you know, we can, each one of us can probably look back in our own life where maybe we were found faithful in a certain area, and so because of that, we were given more responsibilities. We try hard here at the church to find ways for every person to minister. And sometimes a person is really good at a particular area, and you know we give them some responsibility in that. At the same time, we try hard not to overload them and take advantage of that gift. But here the. That phrase there, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. Think about the light that a person is given. You know, when you witness to somebody over and over and over and over and over, and they reject the light, they rebel against the light over and over and over, they are responsible. They will receive a greater damnation because of it, which is a scary thing. And same time, you think about the believer. The Bible says that that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If the Lord has given me light through His Holy Spirit, through Scripture, and has shown me things, and I still turn my eye and say, no, I don't want to believe that, I don't want to listen to that. If I turn away from it, I will have greater chastisement from the Lord. I'll have fewer rewards from the Lord, because I've been told. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. But I think that speaks ominously to the person who hears the gospel over and over and over and says, no, not interested. John chapter 15, verse 22. That's where, you know, a person might say, what good is going to visitation? What good is witnessing to people when so many of them aren't interested in the gospel? And that's where we are, as the Bible says, a savor of life a life unto life for some, and a savor of death unto death for others. Where some will listen to it, and they'll say, wow, that's exactly what the Bible says. Oh, this is great. And it will be life to them. And others will say, ugh, you mean I got to leave my sinful life behind? But I love that stuff. So some it'll be life, the words of life, and some it'll seem like bondage. So John 15:22, Jesus said, "If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin." And the same thing with when we go on visitation. You know, they cannot, or witnessing to neighbors, or however we give the gospel, they cannot say they did not understand, that they did not hear. They have no cloak to hide their ignorance. I mean, same time, no one is truly ignorant, as the scripture says, that, you know, the creation of this world, the law stamped on our hearts, the word of God. So sinning against the light. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 13, please. Acts chapter 13. Here we have a quote from Habakkuk 1:5. So Acts chapter 13. Verses 40 through 41. "Beware therefore, lest that come upon you, which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you." They wouldn't believe, even though a man would declare it unto them. And they've had many. They've had, you know, you read in verse 39, and speaking of Moses, verse 40, speaking of the prophets, and of course, speaking of Jesus Christ here. They would not believe it, even though it had been preached to them, declared unto them. Let's take a look at, this is the verse now, 2 Peter chapter 2, the verse that I mentioned that was brought up in our prison chapel. This was brought up by a man who claims to be a Christian, and he felt that he was worried that maybe he would be that he almost wished he didn't know these types of things, because then he'd be more accountable. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 and 22, we read, let's read in verse 20. "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entrapped therein and overcome, the latter is end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is returned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." Having worked on a pig farm before, I don't know why a person would wash a pig, but I guess if you're doing not a house pet, no, 4-H is what I'm thinking of. but here, I believe this is talking about the unbeliever who approaches the light, and they start to have outward conformity to the light. They hear the gospel, they hear the way of salvation, and then as they approach the light, they just turn away from it. And it was better for them that they had not heard, is what Scripture is saying, because now they have more accountability. Because they've heard the way of salvation, now they are accountable. They have more condemnation if they reject the light. Okay, well, we'll end with those thoughts, looking at some of the ways in which rebellion is manifested, both to the believer and the unbeliever. Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we pray that each one of us would not rebel against you in any way, Lord, that if we do, Lord, that we would confess our sins, knowing that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, as your word says. Help us to have a soft heart towards you and towards the guidance of your Holy Spirit. Help us to be willing to be led, not to be prodded from behind, but to be willingly led from ahead, from up front. Lord, help us to to share the light of the gospel with the unbelievers in our area and trust you with the results. Lord, we know that your word is a light to some and it's darkness to others. We pray that it would be more light than darkness, Lord, that many would turn to it. Lord, we pray that you'd be with our morning worship service, that you would speak to our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to take about an 8-minute break for the morning worship service.